الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. As we go to this morning after Fajr Salah, we had our wazaif that we read every morning and every evening after Fajr and after Maghrib. These are wazaif prescriptions from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala informed him, he was aware that every insan will have to go through some trials in his life. And every minute in this world, every second is a minute of trials, sabr, patience. We don't know what's going to happen next. So we have wazaifa after Fajr. Our three quls we read, alhamdulillah, that after Fajr Salah, after Maghrib Salah. And together with that, after every Salah also there are wazaif to be read. Not only after Fajr and Maghrib, but after every Salah. But this also we should keep in mind. And the wazaif and the du'as that we are taught after every Salah, Ayatul Kursi. Very important. Ayatul Kursi, especially in our situation in South Africa, we need double security, not triple security. We need armed response, we need electric fencing, we need security guard. We need to be linked up to the armed response also, panic buttons. We got all of this, alhamdulillah, we got it structured and we've got a prescription, subscription paid every month to the security system and to the company. And we have armed guards also nowadays. So all these are there. And then we have CCTV cameras also. Hazrat says the CCTV camera actually is there not to prevent the crime, but for us to know after the crime took place, how it took place. More than often. So we have it there. After the chore is gone, now let's see how we got in. Now we got to do something else over there. But all that is dependent on our a'mal. The entire system of dunya depends on our a'mal and our actions. So we can have all that in place, but just like how Hazrat says also, that we have staff working for us, I will tell the staff member, this is how you must pack the shelves, this is how you must serve the customer, this is how you must cost the goods, etc. We tell him all of that, but then we still can't get it right. How to pack the shelf, he doesn't know. How to pack the goods, no matter how many times you tell him, still doesn't get it right. Tell him five high, it was six high. Couldn't count properly. So whatever it may be now, but Hazrat says, how to get the goods out of the business, that he has the brains for it. And he'll bypass all the security systems. But how to do the straight work, can't do it. How to do crooked work, that he knows. In deen we are just the same. How to do it straight, we don't know. How to do salah my own style, that I'll carry on doing it. To do Quran my own style, Allah must accept it. How to do it straight, doesn't matter. Allah, you must accept it like that. So when it comes to staff, how upset we get. I told you one time, two times, three times, I'm giving you short time. Allah Pak hasn't given us short rosy, alhamdulillah. For iftari today will have full menu. Allah shukr, even though the salah was not even acceptable in the court of Allah, Allah says full menu for you. Full menu. And after tarawih too, then to full menu for you. And seri time also, you're being served. Allah Ta'ala wants us a little bit to have some ghairat, sensitivity. I think a little bit, I'm giving you so much. At least get your Quran Sharif right. At least get your namaz right. How to hold the hands, how to make ruku, how to make sujood. Allah doesn't demand a lot. Our demands are more actually from Allah than Allah demanding from us. Our demands are more from Allah than what our demands, what Allah demands from us. That doesn't demand much. But we know how much we need from Allah. Hazrat says we need so much from Allah that our du'as have become as if now we're placing an order by the waiter. Our du'as become like an order we're placing by the waiter. Bring this, bring that, ya Allah, I want this, I want that. This child, you got a whole list of all the children's names. And the mothers also have a whole list, like a grocery list. All their children, son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws, grandchildren, brothers, internal, external, from head to toe, back, front. The whole life of dunya, the mothers got them covered in du'as. So much du'as for them. Hazrat says, we can see from the amount of du'a we're making for dunya, how much the heart is attached to dunya. How much dunya we made for the qabr, our sakarat, and our stay in the qabr, the day of qiyamah, jannat, jahannam. It's just like, by the way. Just by the way. But for the children and ourselves, what a list of dua for dunya only. All that depends on our Quran tilawat and our salah. Person's salah is not correct, then the Hadith Sharif is very clear. Instead of the salah being a blessing for him, the same salah rises just above his head, doesn't reach the skies also. Above the head and the dua and the salah makes dua, دَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا دَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah destroy you as you destroyed me. The dua curses that person. How you destroyed me? You just up and down. Just up and down, didn't bother how to tie the hands, how to read Quran, how to make tasbihat, how to make proper ruku, proper sujood, at-tahiyyat. Right? But we, as we learned in Maktab, we're still carrying on like that. But nobody suffices upon primary education in school. No, no, no. Have to go to high school, then tertiary, then I still get my bachelor's and PhD. PhD, as somebody said in Urdu, para hua dimag. Meaning upside down brains, PhD. Para hua dimag, permanent head damage. But we need them also. So one PhD graduate we met in Zambia. In fact, he told Hazrat Mu'abdul Hamid Sahib, some people get upset, Mu'ana, you're calling PhD now permanent head damage. But that person was a PhD also. He said, Mu'ana, you're saying 100% right. When I went to varsity, this PhD really damaged my brain. So much of work I did getting my PhD, I realized that my Quran tilawat wasn't right. This thing damaged my brain. So much of dunya I invested, it actually damaged my brain. Then I had to turn it other way around. From para hua dimag, permanent head damage, then I made it pehla hamara deen. Pehla hamara deen, PhD, first our deen. He said, I changed it around after that. At first my deen will come. Then this PhD of dunya will be a benefit to me and the people. He did some environment studies, etc. He says, so much I have to put in it. How this whole environment is operating to get my thesis and PhD. Then I realized after I joined the Allah Walas, this entire environment depends on the command of Allah. Pehla hamara deen. Then I realized how beautiful the environment is because I understood the beauty of Allah. So khair, coming back now to my dear brothers, our wazaif also. So after every salah, we have our three quls, Ayatul Kursi. Ayatul Kursi is so powerful. There was one brother in Lens, old Jamaat brother, very simple person, and he had a big inscription on his front wall. Right, he got the AK security systems. Somebody asked him, which company is that? He said, Ayatul Kursi. AK Ayatul Kursi. He said this. Nobody can touch me after that. Complete yaqeen upon it. And the Hadith Sharif says that person who reads Ayatul Kursi, Allahu la ilaha illahu al-hayyul qayyum, once after every salah, the only thing between him and Jannat is maut. Only thing between him and Jannat is maut, and that's it. Just an Ayatul Kursi. Nothing can touch him thereafter. There was an incident of Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Sahib, Hafiz Zamin Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. He went to a certain area, people couldn't host him, so there was an old house that dilapidated, and it was well known there's a very, very big jinn staying over there. And everybody got jinn boot story. Jinn and boot story. As I said, jinn and boot story, everybody got wearing jeans and boots. Because they're wearing the jeans and the boots, but the jinn and boot are after him also. Because you subscribe to our channel, jinn and boot. Jinn means same jinnat. Boot also means same boot, same udu. So those are wearing the jeans and the boots. See, the jeans now is attracting the jinnat also because it's torn. Satar is showy. So malaika ran away, jinnat are coming. So they put him up in that house. So they say, very, very big jinn over there in that house. So middle of the night, his eyes open and he sees hovering over him is a massive giant jinn. A terrible appearance. So he began to read Ayatul Kursi. The jinn also reading with him. But when he came to وَلَا يَعُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا, they're protecting the skies and the earth, does not tire Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. When he came there, the jinn burned to ashes. Couldn't handle it. So powerful Ayatul Kursi is. So we have to read it. And this is after Farz Salah. Person had to perform his Farz Salah. Doctor says, you got to take this medication after meals. Yes, doctor, definitely. Have to. So even if I'm not having lunch or so, I'll have to have lunch today. Because doctor says, I've got to have it after meals. So he makes sure now he has it after meals. So in same way, we have to read the wazaif after the Farz Salah. Farsala with Jamaat in the masjid behind the Imam, then you'll get the full dose of it. Idle Kursi, then after every Salah, besides Fajr and Maghrib, one time, Surah Ikhlas, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas. Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali says, Yakfika min kulli shay, this will suffice you for everything. Whatever shortcomings in your other amal, this will suffice you, as this is beautifully, that now you've got an early morning appointment at the hospital, you have to go very early. You're getting a bit late. Wife says, have some breakfast, I don't have time, I have half cup tea and half toast, at least it will pull you. Hazrat says, these three quls, is that half cup tea and that half toast also, it will pull you. It will suffice you for what you missed out. So read it. Allah Ta'ala will give you the faith. And then he says, yakfika min kulli wird, yakfika min kulli shar. This three quls will suffice you from every type of evil, from every type of wazifa. You didn't have chance to finish your wazaif, it will suffice you for the day. You took Allah's name, Allah says it will suffice you. We have idle kursi, then we have our three quls, once after every salah, Fajr and Maghrib three times, and then Tasbih Fatimi, very powerful. 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. Thereafter we can add on La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulku wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. This all we have to do before we take out the cell phone from the pocket. Once the cell phone is out, then we can't get any wazaif. We have to leave it on silent and no vibrate. This vibrate, they say it will vibrate our concentration away in namaz also. Everything will go away. Somebody, emergency. My life is emergency right now. I don't know whether I'll get to the taqaza of dunya. I have to read all my wazaif first. So read it. 5 minutes take out. 5 minutes put in your brain. 5 minutes only, I just got to finish all of this. Subhanallah, subhanallah. These are baqiyat salihat. Quran speaks of baqiyat salihat khairum. That those a'mal that will remain forever are best for you in regards to thawaban wa khairun amala. Allah is saying, if you want reward, these wazaif, these tasbihat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, are so powerful, we can't imagine. But because it's so simple, so we take it for granted. What's in subhanallah? What's in alhamdulillah? Hazrat says, you know, full the skies, full it. Would reward, li subhanallah, idh alhamdulillah, tamla'u ma bayna as-samawati wal-ard. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the reward of the subhanallah, alhamdulillah, fills the space between the earth and the sky. Full up, you just said subhanallah. You can say it now too. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. The entire atmosphere is full of the reward. Now, we are crying. We know the reality. Person is traveling overseas. He's looking for points. We are here a bargain in some points, upgrade, this grade, whatever it is now. Allah says, you want points? Subhanallah. You could, it's full up already. Full up already. Qiyamah's day, you want to upgrade. Allah says, Jannat al-Firdaus. You got the points. And it's so simple, it's free. Absolutely free. So after every salah, we got it, subhanallah, 33 times. Alhamdulillah. And say it properly, subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Full the heart with the love of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You're filling the whole entire atmosphere. These are such a'mal, Quran says, Surah Al-Kahf, khayrun thawaban. The best of rewards are khayrun amala. Khayrun amala means that if you have to have hope upon any amal, that will give you jannat. This is the best amal to have trust upon, to have hope upon. Khayrun amala. Place your hope on this amal, it will get you to jannat, inshallah. Then, the deal is done with Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. So we have Ayatul Kursi, our three quls, then Tasbih Fatimi, after every salah, before we sleep also is sunnah. Before we sleep also is sunnah. Nabi Ali salatu wasalam taught this to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Before you sleep, Ali radiallahu anhu, read this. Allah will wake you up in the morning fresh. People are feeling groggy, tired. Make sure we read this before we sleep. This will remove your tiredness, idle, this Tasbih Fatimi. So when Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu told the students this, I was taught this by Nabi Ali salatu wasalam. So one student asked Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, oh Ali, what about the battle of Jamal? The battle of the camels, when there was war, there was a battle between Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, that battle, read the entire night. And that night when you read it, because you said you never missed it out, even one night after you learned the wazifa. What about that night? Look at the istiqamat. The Ali says, radiallahu anhu, even on that night, in the raging battle, I broke away. I went to one corner, I lay down, I read the wazifa, the Nabi of Allah taught me, I got up, I went back into the battle. To that extent. How did they understood yaqeen upon this amal? I hear it and I say, maybe I read it. So for you and me, my dear brothers, I know myself. If you tell me now read this wazifa, this wazifa, this wazifa before you sleep, the sleep will come first before the wazifa. By the time I get onto the bed, put my pillow up, and I will start reading it. I got the cell phone in one hand. Then I got the family waiting also. We will sleep away. So by the time we're locking the doors in the house, putting alarm on, house alarm, car alarm, start reading all our wazifas. So by the time we get to the bed, 99% already is finished. Just my little du'as to be read. Allahumma bismika amutu wa ahya. Read your kalima tayyiba la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. And whatever other du'as we have to read, the little ones. So the whole routine before sleeping, after Isha, I'm coming home. It's already time to sleep now. Like I start reading my wazifas already. I'm walking up the stairs, taking the escalator, elevator, whatever it may be, I'm getting it. Now, leave all the talking. Cell phone is not going to leave us. And I don't know tomorrow morning whether I'm going to see the cell phone. By reading this, inshallah, I already got my Jannati Amal banked for me. It's done already. So I got this wazifas to read before I sleep to my Tasbih Fatimi. And then, I have other Amal also after every Salah that we can read. Hazrat once, alhamdulillah, I was walking with Hazrat Wala to the house. Hazrat stopped and he said, Wana, shall I give you a hadiyah, a gift? He said, Hazrat, please do. So I'll give you this hadiyah and this gift and share this gift with everybody. All those that you love also share it with them. So they also may benefit. And Hazrat taught me this wazifa. He said, after your Salah, you read Ayatul Kursi, we read already. Then Surah Fatiha one time. Surah Fatiha one time. And then after you read from third para, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You read it till there. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامُ مَخْتَلَفَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمْ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ وَمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ. That's one page. Third para, just before the half. After the half, the next page, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Till there. So you have Ayatul Kursi, Surah Al-Fatiha, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامُ قل اللهم مالك الملك تولج الليل في النهار till the end. What's the benefit of this? As I say, hadiyah for you. We all accept the hadiyah, inshallah. Allah will build for you a palace in Jannah. Allah will build for you. Who is that waiting to get? Just want to get. Buy my own house now. Children are growing up. I want my own space. They want to play. They got scooter. They got this. They got that. Family too is tired now. Right? I just want to buy another property. Allah is saying, built for you already, decor, design, everything done by Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, according to how I want it for you, you read it one time, palace for you in Jannah. The second virtue, Allah will give him the highest abode in Jannah. Highest abode in Jannah, now for us to understand, finally I got to buy my own apartment. Allah Ta'ala said, only the ground floor, I'll give you the penthouse. Who doesn't want the penthouse? Allah said, I'll give you the highest abode in Jannah. We can imagine now the pleasures, enjoyment over there. What we'll experience now in the highest places of Jannah. Third reward, Allah will bless him with his mercy 70 times every day. 70 times every day, Allah, who doesn't need the rahmat of Allah? All our work is getting done because of the mercy of Allah. If Allah has to withhold his rahmat and his mercy, we are doomed. Everything we enjoy through one drop, a fraction of the drop of the mercy of Allah, so that we are enjoying our lives right now. That we haven't deserved it, but Allah is giving it. Do you know whose dua? What small amal we are trying to do? What sabr, shukr we are making? On that Allah Ta'ala is giving us 70 mercies of Allah every day. Ulama say one drop of the mercy of Allah, dunya work is done, akhirat qabr is done. By reading the Salat al Seventy. Now imagine now we're investing in something and the returns aren't 15% or 12%, 70%. SubhanAllah. We say pyramid scheme. This is a pyramid scheme, can't be. Not possible. By Allah Jalla Jalla, there's no pyramid scheme. Allah says, I'm giving it to you. Genuine, I'm giving you. 70 times every day, just read it after namaz, and it's guaranteed. This is 70 times now, you're reading 5 times a day, we can times the 70 by 5. Month of Ramadan, that to now, any nafil is times even 70. This is nafil ibadat, Allah says times 70. Oh sorry, equal to our farz. Equal to our farz. So you're getting that reward. The fourth benefit, Allah will fulfill 70 of his needs. Allah says, I'll fulfill, you took my name. You read this powerful dua from Quran Sharif. 70 of your needs are taken care of. 70 of your needs, they say that not only dunya needs, your spiritual needs also. By reading this, Allah says he wants something. He wants to get his namaz right. He's reading the wazifa for that. Many people want wazifa for namaz. Here's the wazifa, read it. My namaz will get done, my Quran tilawat will get done. Allah says 70 of your needs, and when you're reading it, have Allah have this need and this need. I don't know whether I'll reach Maghrib Salah, you'll have to pass away, the need of my qabr, Hisab Kitab, Sawal Jawab, answering to the Malaika in the qabr, whatever it may be. 70 needs of his are taken care of. Hazrat says, only the amount of taqazas we have, the amount of work we have. There's so many. He says, one is now the amount of work we have, and just to make up the list of the work, that itself is another job. Just making the list. This. Ya Allah, when is this going to finish? We just finish one thing, other thing happened. We just renewed one license, other car expired. Ya Allah, does it finish this now? That car got service, now the other car needs service. Doesn't end. But now, we think I'm doing it. I got everybody in different departments taking care of. But we know, they won't do it as you want them to do it. If in the rahmat of Allah, Allah says the work will get done, Allah will take care of it. Whatever it may be, whatever your taqaza is, Allah says, you can't do it, I'll do it for you now. And then you say, Allah, I can't understand. Then you see the barakat in time. Then I can make it for my asar namaz, then I can make it for my 3 days jamaat, then I can make it for my majlis. So now the work is getting done, subhanAllah. Right, builders coming to say, headache builders, not coming, left the job. Allah says, you just read it. I will take care of it. The 70 of needs will be taken care of. And the fifth virtue, Allah will protect him against every envier and enemy. The hasad of the hasidin. Jealous people, nazar on my family. Let's read the wazifa. Read the wazifa. Allah will protect you from evil eyes. And from any enemy that will cause harm to you also. Allah said protected. You took my name, now you got my protection. Nobody can harm you. And you know the evil eye and your enemy is all from their heart. You can't perceive it. Yes, I can have a security system because the person looks like a thief. So I feel a bit safe. But the one that is close to you, but he has bad eyes for you that you don't know. Like Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam made dua. Ya Allah, I seek your protection. Min khalilin makirin. From a khalil, a friend who's plotting against me. He looks like my friend, but plotting. Aynau tarayani wa qalbi ra'ani. That his eyes are observing me. His heart also is on me. He's checking all my moves. Where he's going, what he's doing. He just came back, he's going again. What's he doing? What is updating? His eyes are always on me. And then they'll find out also, where are you going next? When are you coming back? What's happening? But he's all plotting against me. إِن رَأَ حَسَنَةً دَفَنَهَا. I do anything good, he buries it. Doesn't even talk about it. Anybody speaks about it also, oh, that person, you don't know him. He just donated to the masjid just to cover up. Buries it. وَإِن رَأَى سَيِّئَةً أَذَاعَهَا. And if he sees any bad of mine, then he makes it public. But he's a close friend of mine. So here this dua was, if Allah protects a person from the envy of the envier, jealousy of the jealous one, and from the enemy also Allah Ta'ala protects him. And the sixth benefit, Allah will make him prevail over the enemy. Allah will give him the upper hand. The one that is seeing what you are doing, they have jealousy in them, and Allah will give you the upper hand over them, that they will burn even more. What do you make niyat of the hidayat, inshallah? So just these small wazifas we have to read, just we have to alter our time. We know how much we're trying to do on our cell phones, what we're not moving in the world right now. These are simple things, we just got to take our time. Hazrat says, the mind is very strong. You have to put a gap in the mind. To every salah, I'm sitting down in the masjid, 5 minutes, 8 minutes, and I'm not taking out my cell phone. If I have to, this was the wazifa, that's all. And read it, and see the barakat in the time after that. I got so much of work, one person asked one of the sheikh, I said, I just don't get time to read Quran Sharif, I got so much of work, and alim. I don't have the time. He said, not that you don't have the time. Is that important to you? Because that important to you. That's why I won't do it. Eating is important. My dunya work is important. Because my Quran tilawat is not important. So what? If I find a gap, then I'll put it in there. So I haven't kept a gap in my day for it. I have to keep that gap there. After Zuhur, 5 minutes. After Asr, 5 minutes. After Maghrib, 5 minutes. And then I can get all this done. Then whatever intervening work I have between this time will get done to the barakat of Allah Ta'ala's name. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. We have the program after Zuhur will be two kitabs read. Just for today we read the one kitab only. Yeah, from tomorrow we'll read the two kitabs, inshallah, because our time management is very important. We know the brothers are tired also. They wake up early. But very quickly, Hazrat explains to us time management and i'tikaf. Whatever amal taking place, we've got to be there on time. We have to break our sleep a little bit. If we don't break the sleep, we'll sleep till Zuhur. And then after Zuhur, what will happen is now we are fresh. And then the program will finish, but I'm fresh right now. And those that are tired, they'll go sleep, but I'm awake. And when it's time for Asr to come in, then my sleep will set in. After Asr, then I'm groggy now. After Maghrib, I'm pulling through. Tarawih, I'm more tired. Brother says, you've got to tune our body and mind according to the amal. We have to break the sleep, wake up, and we're a bit tired. We're a bit tired. Then even in your cubicles, do some exercise, stretching exercises. In the bed, a little bit, pick up our hands. In fact, the Hakim say when you wake up in the morning also, sitting at the edge of the bed, lift up our hands a little bit. Stretch our back, stretch our hands, stretch our feet also. And you see the tiredness will go away. It's all in the bones. So we gotta shake up our bodies a little bit. So wake up in the morning also, do some stretching exercises. Please don't jog in the cubicles. And do other exercises, just but stretching a bit. That's sufficient to wake us up a bit. Right, you can have a quick wuzu, splash ourselves with water, and 2 rakat namaz when you wake up. So if you don't go with the times, what will happen? When the amal is finished, then I'll wake up. Then when it's time now to go to sleep, I'm awake. When it's time to wake up, I'm going to sleep. Then my whole 10 days tarteeb will come out like this. Whole 10 days will come out like this, and I say, you know what, I don't know what happened. Just couldn't stay awake. Body was just tired. Because we didn't fall into the tarteeb. So a little bit we have to push ourselves. And it's all mind over matter, as it says. The mind is very strong. I really tune my mind up and tell myself, to my body, you can do it. You can do it. Then we can do it, inshallah. Right. So if we fall in the tarteeb, inshallah, then all our work will get done, inshallah. So now, after Zuhur, we don't intend to pull very long. After morning is an important session also in Quran Tilawat. There are a few branches, as we mentioned this morning, Islaf of Ibadat, to make a correct our Ibadat, then to correct our Aqidah and our beliefs. Allah neg banai, egg banai. Sab ko, inshallah. MashaAllah. Make you more pies than your Abba also, inshallah. So, we have different branches of deen. One is our akhlaq, character, ibadat, our worship, character, ibadat, mu'amalat, which is our social, our business dealings, mu'asharat, that's our business dealings and our social dealing interaction and our aqaid and our beliefs. So we have to get all this correct. Today we just read on the section of interest, which is quite interesting also. Allah Ta'ala save us. But we know the common word is riba. Usually, interest, riba. Quran speaks about it explicitly. And the Hadith Sharif says, as we'll mention ahead also, that a time will come where if you're not involved with interest, then even the smoke of it will catch you. The entire kuffar system is like that right now. Conventional banking. You've got to use the banking systems. And you've got to be so careful when it comes to this interest right now. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala declares war on those who consume interest. Allah declares war. You can see just one country declared war. See what happened. Absolute destruction of infrastructure. See Gaza. Hazrat says this is the power of mind. power of one person's brain. He just decided we're going to war. Just one decision made, and then you put the entire country behind you, or in front of you, entire army, all the reserves, all the resources, the entire economy, and the entire country put at threat. One man's brain makes a decision, see what he can do. And nobody can turn it around. One man's decision, nobody can turn it around. Hazrat says, now, we are already governments, we are prime ministers, we are presidents, we are councillors, without any voting, without any democracy, already we are appointed over our own continent and dunya, our own bodies. We are already the appointed ones, there is no voting, we have been self-appointed. All these faculties we have and body parts we have, all these are continents and countries. We are already ruling it. With our mind over these bodies, over these faculties. How much you want to make the decision to do is up to you. If you're ready to put your mind to it to get a Fajr Salah, you will do it. It's all mind over matter. You got to program your mind. If I have to wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, the Saathis say we're coming to pick you up, we are going fishing. I'll be there, don't worry. I will be up. We are going cycling, we're going here, right? Oh, we got a flight to catch. 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm already up. And how we got, the entire house is behind us. Person just got the visa, came, booked the ticket together. Today, how I'm going to pack, he called the whole family, all the daughters came. We pack, we get you ready, don't worry. One man's decision gives the whole family behind him. So just the mind only. The mind has to make the decision and we can do wonders. Others say, Allah has given us such potential of the mind, we can't believe it. We can't believe it. What in dunya we can see what the insan. Let's say the poet says, تَدِّيم مَا تُمْهَارِ عَقَلْ كَا كَرْكَ گَيَ. That, oh insan, in dunya, what hasn't your mind done? In dunya, what hasn't your mind done? مَگَرْ دِيم مَا اُمَرْ گَيَ. When he came to deen, then your brain died. Then I can't do anything. Waakar gaye, what you're not moving, what you're not doing. When he comes to dunya, fimar gaye, then your brain died. Then I can't, just can't make it. Can't make it for namaz on time, can't make it for their namaz, can't make it for this, can't make it for that. The kuffar, subhanallah, they apply their mind to something, they're up early in the morning, they're taking the dog for the walk. So I gotta be a job at this time. So I have to walk the dog. It's mind over matter. He'll do it. He'll wake up. That the dog has a right upon me now. I will take it for a walk. So he'll do it. And what they aren't doing right now. 24/7 they got insan operating. 24/7 industries are operating. He put his mind to it. This factory has to run. It has to run 24/7. And he's running it. So it's all mind over matter. So Allah Ta'ala declares war on those who consume interest. As you mentioned, now one president, one prime minister made a decision to the entire country to war. We're doing it. Allah Ta'ala says, I declare war. If Allah Ta'ala declares war, we already know the final outcome. We're not going to win. It's already a war that is lost. We're not going to win it. And we've seen this many a times, that the head of the family gets involved in riba, in interest, then he learns the dunya way of manipulating the system. And he's working around it, the family enjoying holidays, enjoying a good life, and they're carrying on, and he's manipulated the system. Allah will let him run. Dunya, he seems he's successful. 1 cent of riba is haram, destroys everything, taints everything. Whether it comes in your account and you leave it there, whether you pay for it, pay riba, interest also, late accounts, maxed out the credit cards, they pay interest. Allah said, declare war against you. You're finished. Don't think you're going to succeed. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And if you don't pay for it, generations are going to pay. And it's happening. We saw empires that were there. And once the old man, head of the family, left, he knew how he was holding everything together. The whole riba system, how he was holding it together. Once he left the world, the children don't know what happened. Everything just got attached. And they got detached. Everything went. Don't know what happened. Entire empire collapsed. What happened? It was all running an OD, interest, higher purchase, whatever it may be now. Oh, this thing he had. And then the life policies and this policy and that policy. And once the head of the family is gone, the children don't know how to handle this anymore. And those that are collecting rental and are working in the shops. We never drove second-hand cars. Now we can't even afford second-hand cars. Everything has just disappeared. The severe warning is not found in the Quran Sharif for any other transgression. Only for this sin, Allah Ta'ala declares in Quran, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى يَا أَيُّ الَّذِينَ آمُنُوا تَقُوا اللَّهَ فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. Allah says that, announce, declare, بِحَرَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, declare war from Allah, وَرَسُولِ and His Rasul. Declare to them there's war already. But Allah and His Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. Only for this sin. Thus emphasizing the gravity of the sin, Allah states in the Quran Sharif, Allah will destroy usury. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Allah will destroy usury and increase charity. يَمْحَقُ means to destroy from the root. Allah says when it comes to usury, Allah says destroyed. The eye sees increase. Many people have this savings pocket on their account also. It's Sharia compliant. We don't know where it's coming from. Where it's invested. We don't know how halal it is. We can't just take it face value because they put the Islamic, they say halal. Or iman kam is so weak. You just put something Islamic there, you say okay, it's halal. Doesn't happen like that. We have to be careful. Where is it coming from? Where are we eating from? We have to be absolutely careful. Everything else in dunya, we are so particular. So particular. When it comes to my vehicle, when it comes to my house maintenance, we ask the person, genuine or pirate? No, I don't know pirate part, right? Or genuine. Don't bring me pirate stuff. Because we know, and when it comes to our thing like plumbing also, we ask the person, oh, this is Chinese stuff. Alright, any warranty? I said, right, you see the price you pay, no warranty on this. There's no warranty. If you want a warranty, then you got to go for the better stuff. They said, please, but don't waste my time. Don't put the cheap stuff, put the good stuff one time. They are so particular, I know this. We have an experience also. So please don't give me fake, don't give me pirate stuff, don't give me cheap stuff, give me the genuine stuff. So they were very particular. But once it comes to my rosy, we just put Islamic. I said, no, it's fine. Whether it's genuine, whether it's fake, etc., I got to be absolutely sure it is 100% Sharia compliant. By just putting it there doesn't make it Sharia compliant. Right, like Hazrat says also recently, we know dating is haram. Dating is haram, but they put the halal dating, is Sharia compliant? Oh, it's Sharia compliant. They say Islamic dating. Hazrat says, don't try this in Azazel because the girls are very pious. If you ask her for a date, she'll send you khajur. She won't give you a date out. She'll give you khajur. She says, don't try the girls in Azabal. They're very pious, alhamdulillah. They'll give you khajur. So we can't just put something there, Islamic, and make it halal. That Islamic won't make it halal. The Islamic will not make it halal. Like one person was standing by his car. Alright? Outwardly, doesn't look like a Muslim. No beard, no topi, no kurta, etc. Mulisa walked past him. He said, hey, Morana, no salam. I said, hey, Mark, I didn't know you're a Muslim. He said, you can't see my number plate 786. He said, I'll make salam to your car then. Your car is Muslim, got 786, but you don't look like Muslim. You must put it on your dari must be there, beard must be there, kurta, there. You look like a Muhammadi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I don't know you're a Muslim. So just by putting in 786 doesn't make me a Muslim. Doesn't make me a Muslim. If that is the case, then my little son is wearing a messy t-shirt, what's he then? If the car 786 makes him a Muslim, then what Messi will make him? Messed up. No iman. But Ronaldo, then accordingly then, is that a Muslim then? If I'm wearing Nike, Nike also is depicts the victory of goddess, the Greek goddess of victory. When check it up also, it's very clear. The swoosh actually denotes that idol, the Greek goddess of victory, they use that now, that emblem, that whoever will use our brand name, the goddess of victory is behind him. He'll win. She's with you. She is with you. In Salah, we're wearing it, we're challenging Allah. In Salah, we're challenging Allah. That I've got this swoosh on me, and I've got the Greek goddess of victory with me. And thus I'm worshipping Allah. Hazrat says, you are making jadu. Nobody has to make jadu on you. You are making jadu on yourself. You are inviting black magic from Allah. Because this is now, what do you say? It's a conflict of two. Is that a cult? If you have a conflict of two cults, what's going to happen? You have pure pure deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawheed, and yet you bring in shirk, and now there's a conflict between the two. So what's going to happen in between? There's going to be a bomb blast. There'll be dynamite effects. So all these things, we have to see, when we come onto the musalla, Allah wants to see His sunnat. Allah wants to see His sunnat. How my Nabi would have dressed and how he did dress. Not the kufar style. Allah doesn't want to see that. Their fashion, their style, Allah doesn't want to see it. That's why Hazrat says also, we are so overtaken with this kufar culture, we don't even feel it's something wrong with it. We're trying to make things Islamic, so we've got a Muslim architect, or a Muslim, what do you call it? This decor of the house? Interior decorator. Muslim interior decorator or architect, but even where he learnt this, in a kufr institution, in the kufr style. So he only knows the kufr way. Or the Islamic way, that interior decorator won't tell you, or even the Muslim architect won't tell you, why you have to put a Muslim toilet pen, according to Sunnah. Because he was also tutioned, and he also studied in a kufr institution. So that to his mind doesn't work Islamic. They don't even tell you how to make a Muslim bathroom, how to make a Muslim bedroom, how to make a Muslim kitchen, where there's a place with dasturkhan on the floor. So everything he's telling you is away from the system of Madinah Munawwara, the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. He's saying closer now to the west, and closer there, and closer there, and further away from Jannat. Jannati life is Madinah Sharif, the time of Rasulullah ﷺ. So the entire system, that's why we have to revive, we have to wake up our hearts again. What is the Muslim system? What is it right now to preserve? And we know, the kuffar have given us the entire system. Are they happy? They all on medication. And what's the next medication? They're all going to psychiatrist, psychologist. But they're giving us a dream bedroom. Giving us a dream home, a dream car. Every year they're advertising, ultimate driving pleasure for this year. Next year again, that one day is outdated now. What happened? We thought it was the ultimate. Next year is also the ultimate. We have the ultimate already. Dharikal Fozul Kabir. Quran says this is supreme success. Coming back, my dear brothers. Hazrat Muammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, we have heard from the saints, from the Buzruks, that 40 years do not pass. 40 years do not pass before one thriving on interest begins to experience losses. It will happen within 40 years. Whether yourself, whether our families, they will suffer it. He says, we have heard from the saints of Buzruks of before that 40 years do not pass before the one thriving on interests begins to experience losses. The losses will start slowly, slowly. What was the root of it? Because there was some riba there. The entire empire was based upon riba, or it came in some way or the other. Daughter was getting married, we have to take a loan, we're going to throw the da'wat. Here's it, he started already. The losses are going to come. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, those who consume interest usually will not rise up before Allah except like those who are driven to madness by the touch of shaitan. That is because they claim trading is no different from than usury. They say trading and usury is the same. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made trading lawful and usury unlawful. أَحَلَّ الْبِيَاءَ وَحَرَّمُ الْرِبَاءَ. Allah ta'ala made trading halal and riba haram. Don't mix the two. Don't say it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Allah has made trade halal. You do halal trading. Bitcoin and currency online, all these things over here, whether halal or haram. And ulama say too, if something is going to make you a quick buck, quick money, sorry, doesn't look right. In your heart, ask yourself also, it's too good this. You say, usme kuch kalapan hai. There's something not good, something black in there. Just check it up. Doesn't look right. Because Allah Pak hasn't made dunya a place where money will come so easy. Insan has to be kept busy. If it was, you met an alim in Hyderabad, Dakhan. When he left Nizamuddin, Mawla Musa Sahib told him, rahmatullahi alayh, he said, upon this malfooz, my tawakkul opened up. Hazrat Ji told him that person in this worldly life who doesn't learn to take from the creator of the means through the means, that person in this worldly life who doesn't learn to take from the creator of the asbab and the means, to use the means and take from him, doesn't exploit the means and take from Allah, Then after he goes into the grave, into the qabr, where there are no means to take from Allah, how is he going to take them? He only has his worldly life to take from Allah through the means that Allah has given him. What are the means? Is salah, Quran, dhikr, da'wah, ta'aleem. These are the means of rozi Allah has given us to take from him. He says, if you didn't learn to take from the creator of these means, he gave us these means to take from him. Through salah, take from Allah. If you didn't exploit the means to take from Allah in this worldly life from his treasures, then he says, after you go into the grave, how are you going to take? It's too late. You never exploited the system of Allah. You lost the opportunity. And what you did, what Allah could have given you now in 20 years, you'd work for 60 years. For every salah, Allah Ta'ala has a delivery for you. Come and take it. It's under the musalla. Come and take it. And you say, Allah, I don't have the time. I'll come tomorrow. What are you supposed to get by 35 goes to 45. What are you supposed to get by 45 goes to 65. And I'm still working at 70. What happened, by? All 20 years of my life, 15 years, no namaz. I was just running up and down, just getting in, making qaza, carrying on. That's why I'm working at 70. Quran system is by 40-45, Quran system. By 40-45, insan should go into semi-retirement already. By 40-45. You got married young, as we are taught in Sharia. These are long discussions now. Alright? They say that before, the youngsters you get baligh later. By 14-15. Right? Islamic calendar. The solar calendar, 14 years, 6 months and 2 weeks. If it's 14 years, 6 months and 2 weeks, solar calendar, then according to the lunar calendar, he's already 15 years old. He's baligh. So by boys who get baligh later, minds are more clean, more pure. Only thing they were playing that time was marbles in the masjid. And they were playing top outside or yo-yo. Or playing football in the basement. Now it's not like that. They play football on the cell phone. Right? They're playing all the games there, so nothing physical. So they didn't have time to think about the other things besides that. And if they had to eat out, I don't know about you all, they had to eat out, it was some green mango and chili powder. Now it's something else. They order it online and deliver to you. So that was the maja at that time now. Right? Breaks, whether the mangoes broke or halal, somebody's yard, whatever it was. Allah make maaf. Right? But that was the thrill that time. So that time they got bali later. And they got married younger. So the challenge of youth and passion was very short. There wasn't time to go into guna and sin. Now they're getting baligh younger. And now we're pulling them longer in varsity and studies. No, you can't get married yet. You've got to stand on your own 2 feet. What are you doing now then? All these years you're to eat. All the youngsters got there, I've got to stand on my own 2 feet. All these years where you were standing? All these years who was feeding you? Your father wasn't feeding you. Allah was feeding you. Now all of a sudden your whole focus, yaqeen, and your father's yaqeen to turn away to some degree, which is lifeless. Allah provided for you via your parent, and he's paying all the bills, alhamdulillah. Whether it was a bursary, whether it was somebody assisting, but Allah Ta'ala made the system for this child. It was there. It was there. So they're getting baligh younger at 13, and we're pulling them to 25. What's happening in the period of time? Everything is happening. The whole system has become unnatural. It's hitting against us. Whereas before 1920, the boy is ready for marriage, is already mature. Hazrat says by 40-45, father goes into semi-retirement. He got married young, 20-21. By the time he is 40-45, how old is his son now? About 20. And a boy by the time he's 15, physically and mentally he should be baligh. Why? Because he's standing in the first serve with his father already. He's responsible enough, I got to be there for namaz. If he's there for namaz at age of 15, he'll understand himself, I got to be responsible. I'm not playing in the back with the boys now. He read his sunnahs there, he read his nafil there. He read the wazifa, I see my father doing it. So tell me by 40, by 19, whom be mature mentally? Now he's sitting in the car with his father. His father is teaching him lessons of life. Teaching him wazifa, teaching him what to do, what's happening in the business, etc. By 19, he's a responsible young man. His father is going to show him this is how we operate everything now. Slowly, slowly, slowly. He's mature and I can trust him. Otherwise, 19-year-old boy comes in the masjid, he disappeared somewhere with the cell phone. Sit in the car, he's still on the cell phone. Father can't talk to him, can't tell him 2 words or so. He is too busy with the WhatsApp. But he's then according to deen, then by 20, father said, now, get you married now. And he's ready already. Mentally he's ready, physically he's ready. Now he's a responsible man. Father slowly hands over the business to him, takes over the finances, but the running of it. Father is still there. Then Hazrat says, another 5 years later, he's got a, within the time now, mashallah, he started his family. Unnatural system, family planning. Girls say, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. What are you going to do then? He's not ready yet. So they have the children quickly. So he's 20, 21. By the time he's 25, 26, he's already, baby came, children came. The child is 5 years, 6 years old. Now, dada is 45, 50. Hazrat says, system is now, by doing the business, send the grandchildren to me. I'll teach them Quran, I'll take them masjid, I'll pick them up from madrasa, I'll take them morning class, I'll sit in the car, I'll go sit in the hips class also. I'll go sit in the hips class also. Alhamdulillah, amongst us, we got one Haji Sahib uncle over here also, mashallah, 70 plus. Every morning comes to the hips class with his grandson. He used to do hips also. Finish 30th para, finish Surah Al-Kaf, and Surah Waqia, Surah Tabarak. Uncle Harun, the surahs, you finished? Uncle Harun comes every morning, mashallah, to the hips class. That's his retirement package, alhamdulillah. Grandson is doing hips, he's also doing his hips. That's the system. And now the son will take over. I got my grandchildren, I'll teach him Allah, Allah. Dada, Nana is gone, that's all they remember. Dada, Nana. Not the holidays. He took me hips class, he taught me this, he taught me that in the car, he taught me wazifa, he taught me Quran Sharif. Dadi listened to my door, Nani listened to my door. This is Islamic home. They would be leaving behind. So they say 40 years do not pass before the one thriving on interest begins to experience loss of it. 2 o'clock will finish, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, those who consume interest, those who turn back, repeat this crime, they shall be the inmates of Jahannam, wherein they will live forever. Allah ta'ala save us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, interest has 73 doors. Interest has 73 doors. The lightest is like a man fornicating with his mother. Allah ta'ala save us. This is the reality of interest. The lightest door, meaning the 73 doors of sins and punishment, the lightest is like a man fornicating with his mother. One dirham which a person receives due to interest is more severe in the light, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than committing zina, fornication 33 times in the state of Islam. 33 times. One dirham is like you committed zina 33 times. And the Hadith Sharif says the person who commits adultery, then immediately his iman leaves his heart and he's suspended until he takes his ghusl. He dies in that condition, his iman is already suspended. One dirham, 1 cent of interest is equal to 33 times zina. Whether we take, whether we give, whether we note down the transaction, is like 33 times. When fornication and interest become apparent in any place, then they have brought upon themselves the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This itself is punishment of Allah. In whichever nation usury becomes common, they will be overtaken by famine. Be overtaken by famine. And we can see modern day famine. The food is there, but not enough. This is our modern day famine. What do I mean? Is that enough? The youngster will go into the kitchen, open the fridge, it's full of food. And ask mother, what is this to eat? There's nothing here. Order something. Buy the food. There's so much food in there. No, I don't eat this. The mother made the food, the children don't eat it. What do you call it? Modern day famine. Modern day famine. Mother is cooking the food, don't want to eat it. I want to buy that certain takeaway food with a certain non-Muslim domestic maid. What my mother made was zikr, fikr, 5 times namaz and Quran tilawat, doesn't appeal to me. It shows how sick the heart has become. For the non-Muslim, possibly she's in her days, haze also, whether she washed her hands, whether she's ritually clean, whether she went and she cleansed herself properly, she's making the food, or no bismillah, she must have just prayed to some shembe or somebody, or whatever it may be, and now she's making the food, and that now is very tasty. We can imagine now how the iman has gone so weak, that we don't feel anything. Our Kaaba knew is to buy fruits from the vendor outside. He said, when you eat the fruit from outside, on the street corner, We can feel the effect of the people's eyes on it. The Hindus' eyes, which is full of idol worship. He said, we can feel the effect of the darkness coming into our bodies. We're eating that fruit now, which other people looked upon it. We don't feel anything. So we can imagine now, that we're eating all of this, we can go for Umrah, we're going for Hajj, we're going everywhere, but we're not feeling anything. The heart is still dead, we don't feel anything when it comes to our deen. So he's overtaken by famine. Whoever consumes interest will rise in the day of Qiyamah, insane. Like a mad person he'll be. By that being, and nowadays we know the person who's got all these different accounts and all that, in dunya he's regarded to be a very intelligent person. How he's running his business and how he's doing this and how he's doing that. But everything is interest, he's got everything running. But he's got the accountants very sharp. So here he looks absolutely sane. Qiyamah's day he'll be insane, mad. Madman walks to the business, but I just take him out. Person not right, masjid also. We just keep him in the back there. Or just keep him in the car. Qiyamah's day, this person will be the same. Mazur person, insane. By that being whose control is my life, Nabi Ali Salatu Salam says, some people of my ummah will pass the night in disobedience, pride, play and amusement. In the morning, they will be transformed into swine and monkeys. Now, whether it happens really, that they will wake up as swine and monkeys, or we don't take it to be the real swine and monkeys. But we can see those that pass the night like this, whether it be in disobedience, pride, play, amusement, how they wake up, like how you see a monkey wake up in the morning. He woke up in a dwal. No fajr namaz. Like a khinzi, like a swine also. He wakes up in the morning, filthy, dirty, monkey also, no taharat. Himself also, spiritually, no taharat. No fajr namaz, no Quran tilawah. Just woke up, physically, as it says, they look very clean. Apparently, they look very clean, the kuffar. He says, just dolled up a little bit. They went high pan toilet, no washing. What they did? They just now, he said, they plastered themselves. They plastered their bottom with toilet paper. As he gives the example, if you take this condensed milk, and you put it on your hand. You put some condensed milk on your hand, and then you take some tissue paper and you just wipe it. So will it get clean or will it spread? It will spread. It's the same thing with the bottom also. Toilet paper, they're not cleaning it, just spreading it. And then what they've got to do, put so much of spray. Put spray in the toilet, and spray on their bodies also. Right? And then they just change up. No taharat, we alhamdulillah, we've got wuzu to make. Right? And you know when they take out the shoes also, what a stench after that. Yeah, Allah. Right? Because they have to wear shoes, socks, hot day, etc. Sunnah Nabi alayhi salatu salam is champal. Nabi of Allah always wore champals and sandals. All Anbiya alayhim salatu salam, fakhla'na alayk. O Musa alayhi salam, remove not your shoes, your sandals. They all wore sandals. So as much as possible, we wear a champal, we wear a sandals. This is our culture, our style. Right? But kuffar culture, you have to be formal dress. That, alhamdulillah, will comply. Dress formally, you comply. Come to the masjid, others say Sunday, youngsters come to the masjid, no topi, three-quarter pants, sometimes is even above the knee also. Alright? He's got one t-shirt with murat on it also. He said, the imam sahab can't even tell him anything. But somebody has to come for your da'wah, just say, but you dress like this, what's wrong with you? How can you dress and come for a da'wah like this? But the house of Allah, we can't tell anybody anything. House of Allah, free for all. Come as you want to be dressed. As you want to, short pants, three-quarter pants, this type of t-shirt, wearing a cap also, they put it in the back like that, as if Allah is working for you now. Came to deliver some parcel. He says, no, but you came into the court of the king. Come dressed properly. Come dressed properly. The reason for this will be regarding haram as halal. They'll wake up as swines and monkeys because they regarded haram as halal. This is very important, my dear brothers. Now the whole photography thing right now, we know this difference of opinion. What's the cautious thing? Cautious thing is, I don't get involved in it. I don't get involved. That's why I'm reiterating from last night that all these TikTok and YouTube videos and so to say, whether it says even the bayan also now, we the normal bayan doesn't appeal to us. It has to be some effects in the back, some sound effects. Then, what a bayan it was. Those are sound effects, wasn't the bayan. The person can be, as I say now, he can be on Spada speak also. Just put some sound effects in the back. What a bayan it was. But when you listen live, this plain bayan doesn't appeal to me anymore. So better I sit at home and see TikTok bayans. or Facebook bayans, or something else. But did that bayan bring deen in you? The person now, many youngsters sent to me this, till late night, sometime 1 o'clock in the morning, he saw some TikTok video. Manana, this bayan is correct. Now he listened to the bayan 1 o'clock in the morning. So next morning I said, "Bhai, you read Fajr Namaz?" So late you listen to bayan. It wasn't bayan, it was entertainment. In between what he must have been seeing, Allah knows best. But is the same bringing deen into my life? The YouTube, you know the reality. I'm listening to the bayan there, but there's so many other haram things after that. We have to go through all those haram things to look for the right bayan, for the right speaker. Is it bringing deen? It's just becoming entertainment. Hazrat says, the worst thing is to regard haram as halal. Say I have a weakness, I like this thing. I know it's haram, it's my weakness. I like to see it. But don't make it halal. Don't make it halal. It's my weakness, I like it like this. Because I got habit from young, watching TV, watching movies. So now I like to see bayan, I know it's haram, I'm going to stop one day. What's worse is the person regards it to be halal, doesn't make tawbah. Doesn't make tawbah from it. Then using singing girls for entertainment. Brother says before we had to go out to the club, now the club is on the phone. You want to see it, it's all there. Within your bedroom you sing it. Singing girls. Drinking alcohol. Now they have halal alcohol. I don't know how they're going to have halal alcohol. They got their 0% or de-alcoholized alcohol. Alright, one of our chain stores is selling it, Woolworths is selling it. One brother showed me also. He said he didn't realize he bought one 6-pack also. It comes in a 6-pack bottle. He said this one here is zero alcohol. He said, Imana, what a taste. Like you can't believe it. But this is halal. You say, I want to try all the flavors. And when I bought it, I didn't realize that whole range, different flavors, only this one here was zero alcohol. De-alcoholized. The other ones are 100% alcohol. But that first one caught me already. So I thought now the rest all will be, so to say, halal. So I tried it. He said, now I'm stuck in it. So only that one is halal. We take it to be, okay, there's one. So all should be halal already. Thought like that. So drinking alcohol, consuming usury. This drinking alcohol also, my dear brother, sometimes we go into all these lounges, all these takeaways, they've got sharab, they've got haram there. We're ordering coffee from there. We're ordering tea from there, certain drink. This cross-contamination. The person gives me the drink for somebody, and now you tell him, make my cappuccino. Some drops will come on his hand. We know that. We're working in the kitchen also. We've got a cloth there all the time wiping up. You pour it from the kettle, the splashes everywhere. So he's going to make a drink for that person with the haram drink, alcohol, and he's making my cappuccino for me. Allah Ta'ala save us. If we have to, we've got a habit of drinking these things, then carry your own little, little bag there, with your own flask. Now, mashallah, we have flask, we keep the water hot for 24 hours. Right? Like when we were in Jamaat also in Jordan, when you went to buy one cup of tea or coffee, and he told us one dirham, we thought very cheap. But when he did the calculation, we say, Ya Allah, we can buy a whole box of tea bags. So, then we let after that. Better you carry your own tea bags, carry your own flask, carry whatever milk now you can buy, everything, and you just ask the person for hot water. Hot water is free. Alright, even in the coffee shop too. Tell him, buy, just fill my flask with hot water. He fill it up for you. Then you can sit in his own now shop and make your own tea and coffee. No problem. They won't chase you away. You can make it, Alhamdulillah. And it costs you almost nothing. So, drinking alcohol, consuming usury and wearing silk. Wearing silk for men is haram. Wearing gold is haram for men. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that person who will wear gold, silver or silk, more or less the Hadith Sharif says, there will be no share for him in Akhirat. He won't get it. He won't get it in Akhirat. Where is that will be the highlight of Akhirat? يُحَلُّونَ مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. That Allah Ta'ala will make them to wear bangles of gold and silver in Jannah for the men also. Yeah, men also like to wear these dog chains, etc. They wear around the neck. The thick ones, they like it. It becomes like a culture now. Right? They wear bracelet, etc. Allah says, Jannah too you'll get. Give it up here. There I will give it to you. So there Allah will give. But those that will do in this world, they will not get in Akhirat. A time will come upon the people in which none will remain except that he will eat, utilize usury. None will be spared. Whoever does not utilize it, will be affected by its smoke. Somehow you'll have to have some account in the bank, etc. But putting interest is there, so you've got to be very, very careful. Every month you've got to take all this interest. Somebody the same, every month you've got to withdraw it and give it away. Yes, you've got to take it out give it to a zakat recipient, poor Muslim, or to a non-Muslim. If you feel that difficult, then we advise the brothers. Now we all have the phone app, banking app. So have one beneficiary, there are a few beneficiaries. Alright? We have organizations, alhamdulillah, that discharge our zakat for us, etc. So have them as a beneficiary. Put them there. So every month now, this interest of ours, put it just one click. Right? Put it there, zakat. They'll ask you reference. Put there zakat, no problem. So this interest will go to a zakat recipient. So very simple. End of the month, middle of the month, you're checking your balances every week, every day. Then just do it. One transfer, one EFT into this organization, that organization. Darul Ulum also, they collect zakat. Alright? For the students, etc., the zakat recipients. So all I will do every month, if I don't take it out physically, all I got to do from my bank account, put it into this recipient's account, and it's discharged. The interest is out of my account already. So very simple, Allah Pak has made it for us nowadays. I remember not only us, all the women now have bank accounts also, the ladies. And they're not so geared up sometimes when it comes to their own bank apps. So we've got to assist them also. Many of them got home industries. They're doing business from home. So they're also accruing interest. So we've got to check even their accounts too. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed the one who devours interest. He says, out of the mercy of Allah. The one who gives it, the one who devours it, the one who gives it, the one who witnesses or writes a transaction, knowing that the contract involves interest, all are cursed. Allah ta'ala save us. We are afraid. Say, ma ki badduha. My mother cursed me. Finished for me. Mother's curse, everybody is afraid. Father cursed me, we say, this is your father's curse on you. Here is a curse of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Say, may you be accursed. Taking interest, giving interest, recording interest, witnessing interest, buying a property, buying a car, I'm a witness to it. I put my signature there. And it's all based upon interest. You're going to pay interest for it. You're part of it also. So the curse is upon you. Allah Ta'ala save us. Nabi alayhi salatu salam advised the ummah to abstain from 7 destroyers. One of them is the consumption of usury. That's why we see when it comes to our businesses nowadays, we don't have the expertise to really know whether this is interest or not. Now more than before, we're advocating, we're telling the brothers, you have a big business, employ an in-house mufti or alim. Even he may not be a mufti, but employ this alim there. Have him on the payroll, have him there, you must check up. If I need to know anything, I'm going to ask you. If he doesn't know, at least this is your link to the fatwa department of his Darul Ulum. Now I know by the time I send the fatwa there, they're going to check it up. I need to do the deal right now. I need to sign it right now. I need to check it off right now. So I have somebody that I have there, employed, whatever it may be. Here's my contact. Now he knows the ulama in the fatwa department. I got to send an email, he just got to send a WhatsApp maybe. Alright, but send an email, official fatwa. Usually among the ulama, we have our friends in the department, just send them a WhatsApp. Very quickly they give you the answer. Well, I'm not an official head, letterhead, but it's enough for that alim to understand what is the masla. He can advise you now. Just go ahead, don't go ahead. Just be cautious, no, hold on for now. So every businessman needs that alim. Especially now in this zaman, things are quick. Before, hold on, you know, go to the lawyer, get the paperwork done. Everything is done now. He's in mid-air now, he's signing the contract already. He's online, Wi-Fi is there. He's signing it already. I get it done. Before it used to be fax. Now we don't need the fax also. Now it's done just like that, within minutes. So, is there is alim there online also? Mana district, this thing up quickly, find out for me. Now he contacts the fatwa department, gets the fatwa quickly, now you can go ahead with it. Now you're absolutely satisfied. Alhamdulillah, this is 100%. So Allah has made it very easy. So we have the banking apps already. And we're doing it. Now obviously we can't have an alim app over there. But you got him on the WhatsApp. Alright, so whether we employ him, we have CA, we have accountants, we have a whole host of them. Have one alim also. And remember, not every mufti can answer every fatwa. Not every alim can give you an answer. Each one has their department. Each one has their department. So you see who you're comfortable with. Together with that also, many people have this, that if I'm better to a certain sheikh, he's a mufti, so he's my mufti, my masail also. Not necessarily. That sheikh of yours is for your islah, for your reformation, and for your insight. Doesn't mean he has to be your mufti for your fatwa also. You can be aligned to some other fatwa department. No problem. But when it comes to my personal life, when it comes to my islah, this is my sheikh. So we don't mix up the two. Yes, if you're confident in his masail, then you take the masail from him. No problem. So Islah is a different thing, your fatawa is different. So we have one mufti, have one alim. As I mentioned now, more than ever before, making part of the business. That you're on my payroll. I know I have you here, so you do all my work for me. And we see the barakat in it, inshallah. We see the barakat, I know everything is above board. Anybody ask, but how you did the deal? Ask Mawlana. He got it from the fatwa department. So I've got somebody. Qiyamah day, you won't get caught, inshallah. But I asked the fatwa. And the hadith sharif says that that person, in my own words, be a mujtahid, be an alim, be a mufti, who is an expert in his field, and he's asked about something, he applies his mind. He applies his mind because he has expertise. He applies his mind and he comes to a certain conclusion which is correct. For the correct conclusion, he get double reward. And if he comes up to an incorrect conclusion, with sincerity of heart, but this is what he came to, but it turned out to be incorrect in the court of Allah, he will be given one reward. Understand, boy? Double reward if he is right, and one reward if he is not right. So if I went through the alim, and he gave me that fatwa like that, you're not responsible. You're absolved. Instead of me applying my mind, but he applies his mind, he goes to the fatwa department, gives a fatwa for me. If they say it is like this, and it was not 100% correct, but I got my fatwa, I'm moving along, for me it's still right. Qiyamah's day now, I won't be caught. I did what Allah Ta'ala wanted me to do. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ If you don't know, ask those that know. Allah, I made amal of the Quran Sharif, I asked the ulama ikram, and one mufti, not 10 muftis. Not that mufti there is good for my coke masla, that one is for my prawn masla. That one is my other masla. So I got a whole lot of muftis for my different things that I'm doing. Now your deen has become entertainment now. Is that deen? One mufti for everything. I'm confident in his masail and he's good in business field, etc. Alhamdulillah, I'm happy with it. I go through this channel over here. So we have many ulama ikram, many muftiyan qualified, whether it be in Spingo, it be in this darulum, that darulum, Azadul. Alhamdulillah, I'm confident in that fatwa department. Here's my man. I contact him. He gets a masla for me and I move ahead. I'm not responsible. And the last point, on the night of Mi'raj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by people whose stomachs were the size of houses. It was full with snakes, which could be seen from outside their stomachs. On inquiry, Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was informed that they were the consumers of interest. Allah ta'ala save us. Allah ta'ala keep us safe from all these haram things, inshallah. Do you any questions, brothers have? If we finish our session, inshallah. If you get any questions they have, they can send it to us, inshallah. Whoever you have confidence in, but it's something which we have to be seriously thinking about. Because the entire system right now of business is not straight. We know that. Whether government department, tenders also, we see how it is now. It's full of tensions, tenders. Alright? And everything now, like how before we used to hear India, Pakistan, chai pani. Chai pani meaning you have to pay something to get something. Nothing for free. So whole thing has become like this. Whatever the department may be. So whether it's jais, not jais, halal, grey area, how they, and the muftis are, they're level-headed also. They understand the masahil. That to the masla also, to this extent, a person now landed up in the bank. He didn't make mashwara. He's working in the bank, working with interest. He's been paying with interest. Everything haram, absolutely haram. He goes to the mufti and asks him, what must I do? He won't tell him, hey, leave your job, it's haram. You can't work there. No, the masla is by, if you're earning 20,000 rand a month, we know it's absolutely haram every cent. Masla is that now apply for a halal job elsewhere that pays the same amount of money. Once you can secure that, then you leave this. Not that you leave it immediately. So Sharia is very balanced also. Sharia is very balanced also that how to maneuver around all this haram, how to make it halal, and how to make it easy. So their advice is accordingly, inshallah. الله تعالى give us understanding inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. This be our time management also. One is now we are quite tired, we can make some ibadat also a little bit, some Quran tilawat. And qidula is sunnah, we know qidula means to lie down. Hadith Sharif says more or less qidu fa inna shaitana la yaqilu, that have a afternoon nap, siesta, have a rest, because shaitan doesn't take afternoon nap, he doesn't take a rest. So we don't take a nap, then by tonight we look like shaitans, so tired. So it's also it's good to take a nap with the intention of tahajjud namaz. Not just to take a nap.
So Hazrat asked me one time also, he said, well, Yusuf, what's more virtuous? The Hajjud Salah or the afternoon nap? The Hajjud is the Hajjud, bhai. So many virtues and rewards for it. Subhanallah. Dua is accepted. Allah Ta'ala comes right down. Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercies come down. And Allah Ta'ala announces who is there, that wants rozi, that wants maghfirah, that wants this, that wants that. So Hazrat says that the afternoon nap is more virtuous than tahajjud. Hazrat, how come? He said the afternoon nap is sunnat. Tahajjud is nafil. How can nafil compare to a sunnah? That masla we all like. Well, very good. That one we like it. So make amal upon it, inshallah. Alright, so that siesta means just to lie down, close the eyes a little bit. Sleep comes, alhamdulillah. But we know you're going to too deep sleep. Asr namaz is in jeopardy thereafter. So this is sunnah. We encourage the brothers in our business places also. Have one place, one office there, just lie down for zuhur. The sunnah mulli abarul haq sahab rahmatullah alayhi, who was a sheikh, Hakim Akhtar sahab rahmatullah alayhi, when we spent time in the khanka by him, then we asked him, when's the time to have this afternoon nap? So he said, after your lunch. After you have your meal, then to lie down. But if there's no meal, then after zuhur. Or when you feel the tiredness, lie down. Even now the other companies, we find nowadays, we read around, that companies like Google, etc., they also tell their staff, they have sleeping pods. If you're tired, go and sleep. We found that staff that have a good nap in the afternoon, they're more productive. Because by then now the metabolism goes down. So they have a little bit nap, then they're fresh now to work, and even at night too they can work. So even they understand, they're studying all these things now. So we should also take a nap a little bit after Zuhur Namaz, have a little bit of lunch, whatever it is, and lie down in offices, workplaces, take a bit of rest, just let the body lie down a bit, with the intention of tahajjud. And you see, Allah Ta'ala will give the strength, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma, alhamdulillah, inshallah.